It's time to channel your inner Satsuino Hado, because we're talking about Street Fighter II, the animated movie, one of the widely considered to be one of the greatest animated films of all time. Does it hold up? We'll talk about it right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's video game movie anatomy.
Let that Street Fighter V soundtrack roll in. Patrick with his finest Hadouken.
Not my finest. I feel like I'm just more, it's a warm-up Hadouken. You'll get that later.
As the show progresses.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stand up.
We'll actually have a full Shoryuken. Be careful not to hit the lights.
I can't promise
That'd
anything.
Be very nice. Welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy, where we dissect the film adaptations of some of our favorite interactive media. We got the whole squad here tonight. I'm one of your hosts, and it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Joining me, as always, we have the one, the only, Mrs. Stacy Shuttleworth.
Hi, guys. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacy Shuttles, or all over the web, including Twitter and Instagram at Nerds Doing Stuff.
The hype is real.
Yeah, it is.
I'm very sorry for cutting you off.
That's okay.
Where she's a nerd doing stuff. Also, returning, here comes a new challenger.
It's, you know,
it's
funny.
Patrick Dees.
Hello, Japan. I feel like. When the music's going on in the background, I feel like one of the two animations in the background of the fight where I'm like bobbing, like waiting for you guys as you're like my two animations while I was watching you guys intro. Hey guys, I'm Patrick Dees. You can find me at Pete of Dees. Tweet at me your best Street Fighter II location noise. USSR.
USSR.
That's good.
I have a good finishing noise when you defeat your opponent. Ooh, oh, ooh, oh, ooh, oh.
Slow Free Willy over the opponent.
Fun fact that nobody needs to know.
Yep.
I once won a Hadouken contest.
Stop.
At Universal City Walk at a Street Fighter 4 event.
Can I get your best?
I can't because I will blow out the microphone. No, seriously, like the dude held it right up to my mouth and I was like, "Hold on." And I did it. Just I flipping love this
That's
game
fantastic.
Seriously. I love
Amen.
It so much. So we are just about to the year anniversary, which is really weird to call it that, of when we reviewed Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li.
Wow.
We never did that.
No.
I blocked that out.
Well, the
my
only
mind.
Reason I remember that, the only reason I remember that is because at the end of it I said, "One day we'll watch Street Fighter 2, the animated movie." And here we are.
And that day has come.
We made it.
It happened. Never let anybody tell you Mark B. Donica is not a man of his word. Here we are.
Dreams come true. Here at Video Game Movie Anatomy.
The bar is so low that my dream has come true by watching a barely passable animated film.
Well, here's the thing. This Chun-Li miles above Kristen Kruk's performance. But the reason we're doing Street Fighter II, the movie, the reason that we thought to do it, first of all, shout out to Emma Fife, who is a fellow host here. They covered this on Otaku Movie Anatomy, and they actually had the voice of Ryu from the game.
Oh, stop.
In studio.
Oh.
Really cool to meet him. Right. She was like, "Why don't you just do Street Fighter 2, the movie?" And we're like, right. Yeah, sounds good.
Uh-huh.
Nailed it. Especially because, not to bury the lead, our next episode we're going to be doing Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Yeah.
And we wanted to kind of prep for that with at least a fun time.
Capcom joint. It's still in the vein of like
we're getting our therapy.
Yes, exactly. All right, we're getting ready for that dumpster fire in theaters of all things. We're seeing this. I can't wait. I'm excited to see this with you guys.
Oh, it's gonna be a good time.
We'll talk about it more at the end of the show. Let's start this off with our breakdown. If you're unfamiliar with the Street Fighter franchise, it's how it revolutionized gaming and the fighting game genre, and continues to revolutionize to this day. But our movie has a very, very long breakdown. Bison, the ruthless leader of the international terrorist organization Shadow Law, I'll get to it, Street Fighter fans, has been desperately searching for the greatest fighter on the planet for years!
Years.
He finds it in Ryu, a young wanderer who never stays in one place long enough for Bison to find him. He does, however, get a fix on Ken Masters, an American martial arts champion who studied with Ryu as a child under the same master.
Preach.
Meanwhile, Major Guile of the United States Army is forced to team up with Chun-Li from China in hopes of apprehending Bison and putting a stop to his international ring of crime. That's pretty heavy for a fighting game story.
That may be my favorite just read I've heard you do before, but also, like, yes, that sounds incredible. We're just reduced to some bullets.
I will say, this is essentially the story of the game.
Oh, totally. Yep.
And in that regard, they nailed that.
Yeah.
Some of the characterizations, a little bit here or there. What was some of your... Who's seen this movie before we watched it as a show.
Yeah, I want to hear about what your experience is there, and then also like your experience with the game. I know you're a big fan, but yeah, sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Well, so I've always been really a casual Street Fighter player. I didn't really go into the lore behind it. And I saw bits and pieces of this movie, you know, back when it came out. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever watched the whole thing through. But
here we are.
I mean, yeah, here we are.
So this is literally your first full viewing of the film.
This is my first full viewing of the film. And, you know, now, of course, I have a lot more background with Street Fighter.
Sure,
not, I mean, not nearly as much as you guys, but I do have the basic knowledge now.
It's a little unfortunate how much of the lore I am familiar with.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get over them calling it Shadow Law instead of Shadaloo, but that's okay.
Sure.
We worked through it. Americans were silly back in the early mid-90s.
You just move on. You just keep going. You just keep throwing
life.
Those hadoukens.
Just every time they say it. But this movie, similarly, I saw it. I watched it in English, and I didn't exactly have the same frame of reference, just because I saw it late at night and I was like, oh, this is Street Fighter.
Right.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
But no, like, plot, no nothing, because so much of my childhood was just sitting in the spare bedroom,
sure,
playing Street Fighter 2 with my brother and trying to beat Bison on hard. He was like, nope, it's easy. You don't get the real ending.
Doing that Shadow Crusher kick over and over, and you're like throwing your controller. Yeah,
dude, my controller test moment was my childhood.
I have no doubt. He's impossible on hard. Mm. Who did you main? Who was your guy? Who's your go-to character?
Well, if it was to try to beat people on hard, it was DJ, because his down heavy kick is so hard to block, and that's like a great cheese move.
Yeah.
But in terms of legit, Street Fighter was the first game where I got relatively good with all of the characters.
Okay.
I learned all of the moves at heart so that when I went to the local pizza joint to play Street Fighter 2 on the arcade, I would be like, whatever, I'll beat you with, I'll take any challenger on.
Did you do the, was it up and start where it would random it?
No, I wouldn't do random. No, but that was Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
But I wouldn't random it, but I would just be like, that was my first sense of like strategy. Oh, if they're picking Dalsim where they could do the long punches, I should be range, quote unquote, and pick a fireball character. But yeah, I'd love everybody. I really do.
I was a big Ken guy back in the day. In fact, I have like a lot of fond memories, not only about this movie, but also Street Fighter II in the arcades. It's the first time I can go. It's a very special moment in my life. It's the very first time I remember actively smack talking. I thought this was incredibly clever. Which has become a big part of my personality, as viewers of the show might know. I remember thinking I was incredibly clever when I would do the Ken throw. Do you know where he grabs the gi and he rolls backwards and throws it?
Yeah,
I would yell in the arcade, "Take a ride on the Ken coaster!" And Little Magic would just shit talk that over and over. It was my favorite.
Take
thing.
A ride. Ooh. I'm taking that now.
As you should. It's so fun to say. Even if you lose, if you get that in, it doesn't matter. You feel good about losing the quarter. You took a ride on the Ganon coaster.
You throw your opponent off. Yeah. Throw them off their game.
Totally rattled.
So we got there's some plot to talk about. There's just going to be a lot of remembering fond Street Fighter memories, because we have talked a lot about the franchise so much in our last kind of secret episode that may or may not be privated now.
Sure.
It's not, but we wish it was. Let's give our speed runs. A speed run is where we give a basic, quick review. It's like a box quote that you would see on the back of a box at your local game store. For example, Mortal Kombat has a cheesy script, but nails the spirit of the game. Something like that. Now, I will admit, I'm usually the last to admit when mine are long. Mine is a little bit longer. Mine's a sentence or two.
Welcome to this team.
Yeah, welcome to... the ball drop. Where's the ball?
Civil disobedience. Basically just said, I know what the rules of the game are, and that's not what we're playing.
Somebody
we're doing
the
dissertation on whatever film we're talking about.
We have a lot of things to talk about.
I know.
Who would like to go first?
I want to go first.
Okay, you might be disappointed. Mine's actually pretty
is
short.
It? All right,
to the point.
Okay. Leave me high and dry here.
Disappointed.
The single long-winded human being on this panel.
Today, apparently.
Okay,
ma'am. Sorry. All right. All right, so it's, welcome to the world of You Look Strong, Let's Fight, and we'll have your inner 90s kids squealing with joy.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
You followed the rules and crushed it.
Nailed
You Look
it.
Strong, Let's Fight is, I want that the game. I want
want that game. I would play
it's
that
game. It's called Street Fighter.
I'm just saying. But I wanted to be titled that. I want that to be the taunt.
You look tough. Let's fight.
You look tough. Let's fight. Just badly mouth lip sync.
I just feel like that's essentially what they're all yelling at each other most of the time.
I think the T-Hawk scene, especially with Ken Masters, yes. was like... Dog, you look fight. Let's throw.
I actually think that's the point where I wrote that down.
Genius. I think, and I would watch it based on that.
I have many problems with that scene.
Mm, do you?
Yeah. One of them being is how disrespectful they were to the T-Hawk character.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are listening on iTunes, I have my eyes closed because I know how sad this sounds. T-Hawk is a completely different type of character than, hey, we're going to be in the tournament. Let's fight. He's a Native American.
Right.
And he's sort of the atypical, his land was taken by Shadaloo, and he's trying to fight for the freedom of his people.
Sure.
As opposed to, hey, you look tough, let's fight.
That's what we got here.
Yeah. Patrick,
weirdly in Seattle, above places. I was like, sure. Alice in Chains was playing. They needed to figure out how to work soundtrack. into Seattle. Okay. Yep. My speed-ish run.
Speed-ish.
Street Fighter II, the animated movie, stands the test of time and has proved out to be incredibly loyal to the source material as it perfectly understands the spirit of the game and gives fans exactly what they want. The fights are fast, and well choreographed. They're exciting. However, it remains as shallow as it is stylish. Yet, in its precise focus, it's incredibly effective at inspiring the viewer to want to play the video game on which it's based. It made me want to play Street Fighter in a way that I haven't I skipped 5. I loved 4, but it's been a long time since I've come back.
Mm-hmm. 5 is good.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. I think there are all kinds of problems.
It had a bad launch.
Okay.
It's great.
I've heard mechanically it's really solid, but it's everything outside of that.
All of that stuff is gone.
Monetization is kind of gross.
It's gone.
Okay.
I mean, if it had launched now, all of that stuff would have been gone. They just wanted to be up for Evo season.
Yep.
And now that essentially they filled out the rest of the roster, the story mode is more fleshed out, and now they're on their first season of characters that you're actually paying for,
okay.
like a normal fighting game. But like Guile's free, Alex is free, a whole bunch of characters from various titles are free. Highly recommend it. I was so upset. I finished this movie, and I put in my copy of Street Fighter V, and my controllers weren't syncing for some reason, and I didn't get a chance to play, and I'm jonesing. So. Mm-hmm. Oh boy!
But it made me want to play. Like from the jump, right? That Ryu Sagat fight at the very beginning. Yeah. I'm like, let's do this. Like, I just want to play.
When we get into our controller toss moments, that's the start of the game. Ryu the lightning?
I agree. I was like, yes,
it's the coolest
perfect
thing.
Fan service. This film. Mark, what do you got
for my speed run? Street Fighter II, the movie, holds the honor of being arguably the most loved video game movie adaptation of all time, with good reason. It acts as the cinematic for a stuffed to the brim fighting game classic that is still getting remade to this day. Shout out to the Nintendo Switch press conference where they announced Ultra Street Fighter 2, which is supposedly the last version of the game that's being remade. You can play it in classic 16-bit mode or in the HD style that they've been releasing it. This is the cinematic. You pull the different storylines apart. I mean, DJ just gets a club, I guess. Blanca is just a savage. Zangief is just a dude at Las Vegas wrestling. Why not?
I have been to Las Vegas. That scene did not surprise. The most plausible scene in that film was like, oh yeah, weird shit happens in Vegas. Uh huh. But checks
sounds
out.
All right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just call it the new Cirque.
Yep. Sure. Yeah.
You're good.
Totally.
Tickets left and right.
Some weird horses.
Yes. Let's talk about our controller toss moments. It's that moment when you're watching the film and you silently or loudly have you've got to be kidding me, and you throw your controller across the room. Don't do that with your Nintendo Switch. You'll probably have to pay a lot more extra money to repair it. So this, we usually do it in a negative way. I had a lot of positive ones in this,
too.
But there definitely was a negative in my book. But it kept getting overturned. And it's the casual sexism against Chun-Li.
Thank you.
Where it's just like, yeah, don't let me run over your cute little butt. Or like whatever that guy was throwing at him. Then all of a sudden it's like his daughter. And then she literally spin kicks through those stereotypes and perceptions in her little fight with Guile and 100% in her fight with Vega, mm-hmm. despite all of the fan service.
Yeah.
It's gross, and it just didn't stop. And it's funny how just I know we were much younger when we first consumed this, so maybe that's something that we just glossed over. But like, that is absolutely my controller toss moment. I've got several other ones, but I think the grossest was when M. Bison, when they're doing the little dossier and they've got the computer analysis, and what's his language? Ooh. He says, "Speaking of interesting, the cursor hovers over her crotch
for way too long,
and it kept going
speaking
up and down.
Of interesting, like, and I'm like, wow."
Really?
Okay.
This is what's happening on screen.
And I thought for a second it would be inadvertent, but it just...
No,
definitely. It was a conscious... Somebody made a choice.
It was absolutely on purpose.
And I'm like, ah, and it was a slow lob with the controller. I'm just like, come on.
But yeah, this is rough. Rough.
That was,
Did you have other negative ones?
That, ultimately, the... I have a Ryu amiibo. Shut up. Ultimately, I think how Chun-Li's character was handled stayed true to who she is and who she has been. Mm-hmm. It didn't take away from her ability to be an Interpol agent. She didn't fall into the I'm still cute. She was still like, I'm gonna kick everybody's ass.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Which one of my other controller test moments was a positive one. She throws a fucking couch at Vega.
Yep,
fantastic.
Yep, best fight of the whole film.
That's not an IKEA
couch. Not even close.
She
fucking hucks it. It's so good.
And the surprise of, shit, like, he knows 100% I'm about to die.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately, like, Chun-Li, I think, saves how everybody else perceives her character by staying true to that character.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But what did you have, Stacey?
Well, as far as negative, I mean, again, it has to do with Chun-Li, the obligatory and overly gratuitous shower scene, which...
I was going to ask about that. Which version did you all see?
I got the showerific version is what it's called. Right on YouTube. Just showerific +++. No, I'm just... I got the R.A. They have the swear, and that shower scene goes on far too long.
Way too long.
Way too long.
Like, I mean, not that it needed to be there at the beginning, like, from the jump, but like,
You get a little glimpse of it, fade away, come back.
But in the gratuitous upskirts, that entire scene, like, she couldn't just be badass in and of herself.
No,
all these weird angles. That's my problem with it. It is the best fight in the film, as far as I'm concerned, but the angles that they chose, again... She just got out of the shower,
Dude,
you needed to remember that.
That's true. Good point.
She was a boss with her braids, though.
I agree.
Because it was just done, rolled up, and we're ready. What was that noise?
Can I have that skill? Because I guarantee I could not.
We'll get to stuff like that later in the show. But yeah, best show of the, or best fight of the entire movie.
100%.
But agreed. The shower scene, super gratuitous. And this is a really weird, I never thought I would say something like this. I remembered butt, don't remember chest.
Me neither. No, totally. I must have never seen this version before. Because also the language took me back a couple of
times.
I mean, it was fine. And I actually appreciated they were going for something a little grittier, so the language was fine. But I was like, whoa, all right, we're just F-bombing. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that's the thing. There have been so many re-releases of this. The VHS copy... that I used to see in Blockbuster all the time was usually a... It was the first American cut, so it was very clean. Well, not animation-wise, but it was very clean language and content-wise. And I think there have been, like, without a sense of joking, six to eight re-releases, including one as early as last year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, okay. As recent as last year, which I think is now, like, the final Blu-ray Ultimate Edition, which included this cut.
Yeah.
Was there any other positive controller tosses that y'all had?
I had a couple quick negative ones. Not too long. It just kind of like, come on. It was going back to Vegas, which again, I said nothing surprised me. I'm going to double back on that and say, well, this surprised me. When Balrog's on the phone talking to, I believe, M. Bison, and he explains that he is at the corruption convention.
And at the corruption convention.
And I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what? They just have a website? Like, I want to register for this. I thought that was incredible.
People coming in costume? Like, what?
I don't know.
I hope so. This is what I expect now.
And I couldn't, for the life of me, get over some of the localization. The voice paired to Ihonda made almost less than no sense. I was like, I can't. I just...
See, now, Ihonda's an interesting character because he is not Japanese. He is American who has gone over to Japan to become the world's greatest sumo wrestler.
Makes more sense then.
But that in the movie, there is a line, us fellow Japanese guys gotta stick together.
Right. Yep.
Come on. And he is a guy who, amongst all of the fighters, is that... hey, you look strong, let's fight. Yeah. Because he wants to show that sumo is the best style to be the greatest fighter of all time. So but why did he fight? It seems weird that a sumo, a guy who has to consume so much in order to keep his frame for his style of fighting, went to a dingy little village in India where everybody's probably like, you weigh as much as all of the children in this village.
Our whole village.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
just, and Dalsim was just like, power. I sense a presence. Like, if they'd gone more into the yogi that he is, would have been pretty interesting.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, boy.
Agreed.
Did you have any more, Stacey?
No, most of my borderline controller toss have to do with quotes, so I'll save.
Sweet. All right. I'm excited to get there. So this movie does, I think, the best job in not straying too... Oh, wait, did you have another one, Patrick?
No. Okay, I'm just agreeing.
In not straying too far from the source material. This is the source material that everybody pulled that were fans of Street Fighter. They went off of this movie. They went off of the future comics. They made a movie for Alpha. They keep releasing movies for each additional game. I remember in the special edition of Street Fighter 4, it came with I wouldn't necessarily count it as a movie, but it's like 45 minutes. It's like an hour special. That was pretty good.
All right.
So anime and Street Fighter go hand in hand.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And this movie does a really good job. I feel like anytime you adapt a fighting game to film, you have this problem of like, how do I manage all of these characters and the introductions? This movie does a really good job, to its credit, of pacing through them, introducing them, and then really focusing on the five or whatever, as opposed to, so everybody gets their own little fan service moment. We talked about Blanka and Zangief or whatever, but I feel like they focused on a few and did so successfully. I didn't feel like anybody got glossed over.
Everybody got their moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were some of your favorite takeaways? What were some of the moments in here where you just went, that's Street Fighter? They nailed that.
She looks so pensive.
I know.
So I think and we keep coming back to this Chun-Li fight because I had forgotten how... So the choreography in this film is pretty excellent. I really liked the Chun-Li fight because it wasn't just an awesome fight. She was waiting for Guile. She saved herself, which I thought was badass, right? She'd already... Sure. Yeah, which was great.
Threw him out of her apartment.
The window. But I really liked what a psychopath Vega was, right? Like, when the blood's coming down his claw, and he says something along the lines of, like, my pet is thirsty. I want to skin the rabbit. It was twisted in a way that, like, you always kind of read into, these guys are really... dude's a weirdo. And I thought they went darker and nailed it more than I was like, all right, this is really messed up. And it was an additive property for when I played Street Fighter in the future for me. Like, I thought it was pretty good. Was there a moment like that for you?
I mean, going off Vega, I did like Vega a lot, too.
He was great.
He was... especially at the end. My face.
Just my beautiful face. When she stopped his face and twisted. I know.
Perfect.
It was great.
Perfect.
It was so good. And I really, we talked a little about it a little bit, but I really, really dug, I mean, to really fanboy out a little bit. I got a little bit of the chills, like, again, because it's been a long time since I've seen it, but like the lightning and the Sagat fight at the very beginning with Ray when he runs.
Oh, yeah.
And the just that guttural scream when Sagat's running at him. I go back and forth. You go Sagat or Sagat?
Sagat.
Sagat. Yep. When Sagat's running at him and he's like, it was awesome. It was so good. It was just so Street Fighter.
Like, that's a moment when it comes to game fiction that ultimately that put Ryu on notice from Shadowloo.
Yeah.
Because he scars Sagat's chest with that huge uppercut. Like, even seeing... I imagine opening with a shot like that for an American fan, seeing just all that blood.
Yeah.
He ripped open his chest an uppercut.
Yep.
With a glove. Like, not even, like, with a claw like Vega.
Right.
But straight up, that's the power of the Shoryuken. God, I feel white. But, Sylvan Bilodeau in chat is saying that Vic Mignogna, I can never say his name right, was the voice actor for Vega.
And he crushed it.
Supposedly.
Yeah, he was such a twisted weirdo in like, the best possible way.
Yeah.
He was incredible. Mm-hmm. So I was glad we got to look at him. Less so with Balrog. I think the more he talked, the less I was interested.
Did anybody get the animation mess up with Balrog?
I'm sorry, what?
No.
I saw some animation mess up. I didn't see the Balrog one.
Okay.
Please break this down.
When E. Honda, near the end of the movie, when Shadaloo makes their move onto Ryu and they show Ken, whose mind is messed up.
Yes.
And E. Honda rolls into Balrog.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, who are you? And so the It's so bad. His eyes are off. Okay. Like, one eye is here and one eye is here, and he's like, your worst nightmare. It's just like, okay.
That's I did notice that.
Two black dots on two white balls. You can fix that. It was only 4 seconds.
Right.
It was awful. Okay. It's the worst.
I did notice that, and I was like, is that supposed to be... Okay.
I can't believe I missed that. I'm so bummed out. I feel like I would have paused it and tweeted you guys.
No.
I did notice when Ryu like jump kicks a dude through the windshield, which is pretty badass.
That's baller.
Straight up knocks all that guy's teeth in. 2 seconds later, all his teeth driving away. I don't know.
Oh, you know, so you noticed that?
Yeah, even faster than Chun-Li putting the buns up was his dental work, and he's out. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some benefits. Maybe that's why. E Honda was visiting. He was just there for the dental work, and it was a plus that he got to fight Dawson.
Yeah, it's cheap. Cheap dental
that's
work.
That's what everybody... Never okay. do cheap discount dental work or bungee jumping. Those are the two. Don't do either of those things. Spend
like
on
them. That's solid advice.
That's one... I've got it tattooed right down the... No.
I can't find it.
I loved E Honda so much in this film. It's
pretty fun.
He blew me away. I think most of my favorite lines were actually from E Honda in this film. Because, like, when he runs into Balrog, he says something really stupid, like, who are you? Or, like, what does he say? Do you remember that
line? I forget. Also, really quickly, that's the...
Oh, that's real good.
That's real. That's 100% real. Folks at home who are watching live or listening, look up Balrog Street Fighter 2 error. It's the worst.
It looks
it's
like
absolutely terrible.
He's been hit before he starts talking, right? He's on his way out.
Well, that's...
Yeah,
like, okay,
little Mario's counting him down in Punch Out. He's like, bah, bah, he's out.
That's nice. Yeah, M Bison's punch out.
Yeah. Man, Mr. Dream will always be Mike Tyson.
Yeah, there's none of that.
Yep.
There was so much fun to be had. I wish we got more of Dalsim. Dalsim's always been one of my favorites. And his story continues to be really interesting in all of the game lore.
It didn't work in this film.
No, because they didn't go into it enough.
No.
All of a sudden he was just a mystic.
Throwing the fight, didn't care. Where's this other energy?
But it was weird that, like, you're trying to... If you think about it, both he and M. Bison have the ability to teleport in the game.
Yeah.
And they use it in the movie for both of them as well, which
sure.
I think was a little... Why would you show a good guy doing it when you show an evil guy doing it? That implies that Dalsim may not be a good guy, but, like, he's just fighting to raise money so that he can build a well for his village.
Sure.
Like, he's one of the nicest good guys. But a lot of characters, again... don't have enough time. I wish we got to see DJ fight as opposed to just like, oh, this is my club with my music.
My club.
But and Bad just because ass. Just because his name is DJ, spelled D-E-E-J-A-Y,
yes.
not just DJ,
no.
doesn't mean he has to have a club or spin music. He's Billy Blanks. He is essentially Billy Blanks.
It's 100%. Tybo, famous creator of Tybo.
Yeah. Yes. He's based off of Billy Blanks.
Yeah, and he's perfect. Although, what was it? So his line about when she spin kicks the android's head off.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Because that's one of my favorite lines.
Perfect. Awesome. I'm so glad.
He said it so perfectly. I think that one of the biggest influencers to get mainstream media, because anime was still sort of, or Japanime, was still sort of coming in from the East, and not a lot of people knew how to handle it, but this was a really big franchise, and it was huge in America. The soundtrack to this movie, huge, was probably a big... It was really weird seeing Ryu go to fight a truck, and then Korn's blind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just blasts us into the credits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other highlights, Alice in Chains is Them Bones. Crazy.
It was great.
Just
it
playing
was,
on the radio.
It was great.
Silverchair's Israel's Son in the Nursery's Hallucinations, the Dream World mix. Black Note's Evil Dancer, KMFDM. Some classic 90s stuff,
Chun-Li
dude.
The Chun-Li fight, right?
That was Ultra. And then Smokin' Sucka's Wit Logic, because I'm like that. And then Intermix's Mantra. But no, KMFDM, like, they had a track on both the Mortal Kombat soundtracks.
Okay.
And so, like, that has always been, like, the fighting soundtrack to me is KMFDM.
And it made that scene so dark.
Yeah.
Like, it was, twisted.
I mean, if it wasn't dark and twisted already.
Right, I mean, I agree, but, like, it definitely added to that. I love Ken. Like, proposing to his girl in the middle, like,
we'll
sorry,
get
sorry.
To
oh, yeah. I'm sorry,
we'll,
I'm always jumping the gun.
We'll get to that.
She wanted to take a ride on the Kenny coaster. I'm just saying.
I'm so happy that came back. So there isn't a lot, because this was essentially just a home release, we don't have a lot of box office information
sure.
from it.
Mm-hmm.
It was released straight to video in the United States, which was in 1996, compared to the Japanese release, which was August 8th, 1994. It has an IMDb score of 7.3 out of 10 and an audience score from Rotten Tomatoes of 78% because there is no press. There are no reviews.
Right.
I had to really go and find some reviews, and they were all positive. The one negative one that I found didn't have any text to it. The page was gone. So he probably was disavowed and not allowed to review things anymore.
The internet just shut him down.
Felix Gonzalez from DVD Review says, although this won't challenge your intelligence, this film stands head and shoulders above the live-action Jean-Claude Van Damme fiasco.
That checks out.
Head, agreed.
Shoulders, chest, legs, toes.
Yeah. Heads, shoulders, knees, and toes. I actually found this from Kotaku, Richard Eisenbeiss. Nearly 20 years after its release, Street Fighter II, the animated movie, is still the best fighting game movie I have ever seen. I mean, I might argue with you about Mortal Kombat, but this one, ultimately, I think has more for a bigger audience.
The fan service is even a little bit better because they can play with... It feels more... fighting gamey even more than Mortal Kombat because they can do so much more with the special moves and the spin kicks and Chun-Li can pick up a couch. It was awesome. She's awesome.
She can throw a couch.
Oh, yeah, like just pick a up a
boss.
Couch.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Shuck that
that's a good point.
The
she's not like doing the strongman where she barely gets it up and then puts it back down. You're right.
No,
she's
or
just
she like
put it in.
She just sort of flips it at him.
Oh, no.
Over her bloody head and just
flying.
I believe the technical term is hucks it.
Yeah, she
hucked it. Hucked it.
I mean, I tried that
she
out.
Didn't
I liked
throw
it.
It
had a good mouthfeel.
Hucked it.
That
all right,
couch
so
was hucked.
We've got a lot of fun stuff. So let's have some fun. Let's spend some time on it. This movie is amazing. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Let's talk about our favorite lines.
Oh yeah.
I have three.
Okay.
How many does everybody else have?
Two or three. I'm sure some. There will be some overlap.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
will be some overlap. Do you, okay, for instance, DJ.
Okay.
I'll be a son of a bitch. What the hell is that? 10 men on steroids? I love that line because it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
DJ, are you in the room? That was so good.
I imagined it. I imagined it.
Very good. Very good.
Actually, really quickly, before we go too far into it, in chat, Ren Einsburn says that the truck was their controller toss moment.
Oh,
which
okay.
I don't blame them.
Fair.
It's like, and why isn't Bison driving a truck?
I don't know.
That's a question.
Yes!
It's pretty fair.
Although we did get this great image of him behind the seat of a truck, I mean, behind the wheel which was really great.
I want to see the lead up to that where he's like, looking on his GPS, where's Ryu? And he drives by a kid who's like,
take it back a step further. He's at the DMV. He's going through, and he's talking about using his cycle powers. And the guy's like, that doesn't count on the test, Bison. I'm sorry.
You
have
got
to come
15,
back.
15 wrong. 15. 14 is minimum, so you're going
to
have
to come
back.
You need to come back in 2 weeks. Yeah. Sorry.
So how many times
California.
You have to take this test?
But I have cycle powers. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter.
Bison.
It's like that one episode of the Fantastic Four the cartoon back in like the 60s where Magneto had a car, and he went to, but it didn't have gas or anything. It was metal, so he just made it float and drive. And he shows up at a gas station and says, hey, parks. And it's like, I need directions to New York City. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you want me to fill you up? No, you idiot! And then he just rolls away. It's one of the greatest things ever. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about our favorite lines from Street Fighter II, the animated movie.
Yeah.
Stacey, what was one of yours?
So this is a conversation with Ken when he first gets attacked into a big
perfect.
Fight. Yeah. and he's like, I won't take part in a street fight. I said, got it? And so... he's up against T-Hawk at this point, and he turns back, and you can tell there's just an epic speech brewing about it. And he starts going, it does not matter where a battle is waged. Oh, please! And Ken just cuts him off. It's like, no, not having any
classic
of that.
Classic Ken.
It's amazing.
You know what? There probably was, I haven't watched the Japanese version, but there probably is something from T-Hawk that's a little bit more true to his character. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we got to cut a couple minutes.
Yeah,
let's just cut this T-Hawk
bye.
Scene.
Let's chalk it up to localization.
We need more shots of Chun-Li's butt. Let's cut this T-Hawk scene.
That's true.
We're expanding the shower scene, and we're going to take away the
action. What's that? You need more shower? Green light it. Go.
Awesome.
Got it.
Thanks, Capcom. Yep. Patrick, what's one of yours?
Edmund Honda says when they're all together and like Guile shows up and then Bison shows up kind of for the final scene, Honda says, "We finally have visitors drop in and look at me. I'm just a mess."
No, there was one who was just like, "Will you hurry up and kill us before I kill myself?"
Yeah.
Do it better than I did.
It's, oh God, I can't take it. I gotta kill this nut before I kill myself.
So good.
He's amazing.
He's a wonderful human being.
Phenomenal.
Mine, Brett Patrick mentioned it also earlier in the show, was, "Marry me." I don't know, Ken.
Whatever.
Okay.
Like, treated like classic 90s sadgasm. He's just like, turns up the like Alice in Chains a little bit louder and just. I mean, who says no to that kind of proposal, though? You telling me?
But also, it's not like, "But darling, we've been through so much and you've supported me on my
fight."
I even wrote it WHUDDEVVER.
Whatever.
But who says no to that kind of proposal? You're just top down, you're in the Porsche.
Babe,
I would have said yes. I yelled yes at the screen. I'm like, "I'll marry you, Ken Masters."
Babe,
and she said
but
no.
But babe, I thought you loved Alice in Chains.
Yes.
This is the most romantic song I could think of.
So good.
While we're narrowly avoiding traffic all over the place.
I like how it's no, and then he has a flashback, and, and she was like, "Maybe I should have said yes." Which like, implies, yeah, "Oh, I said no, you're going to kill us."
We have flashbacks.
Yes,
moment,
yes, Ken, yes, don't hit the car, yes, whatever you want, yes.
Sorry, hon, I was just thinking about Ryu.
And all the awesome. You won't marry me?
We have unfinished business,
Ryu.
Ryu.
What?
You kind of didn't. You said goodbye and, like, shook hands. I don't know.
Ugh. What? I have one more.
I got two more from M. Bison. I'll go with this one that says, M. Bison's talking to their kind of whole group, and he's talking about Ryu, and he goes, "Any man strong enough to beat the crap out of Sagat is a man I want found." Sagat's in the room. Like, just, "Hey,
no, dude,
thanks, boss. I'm, like, right here, dog."
No, Sagat is like Starscream to Megatron. He shits all over him.
So emasculated.
Yeah.
He's just, like, that's fucking
terrible.
Beat the shit out of that dude.
Sagat's the Dark King of Muay Thai.
And just, like, he's like, "Hey, boss, I'm in the room. Like, you might just let me leave first before you go." Yeah, so,
at
like,
least send me away.
So, like, I don't know. I felt bad for him. Just
like, "Hey, yeah, we're gonna have a quick meeting. Scott, can you go get us some coffee?" Dude, that guy sucks.
Oh, who's Scott? He does suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bad. I have one more from M. Bison, and then Stacey, you should definitely go. This is fantastic. This is the last confrontation. Guile's running up, ready to throw. And Bison tells him, kind of lectures him, real condescendingly. He goes, "You know, Guile, evil is a good career choice. It has a lot to offer." What? It's a career choice. Hey, guidance counselor, how should I be? I'm good at math, and I'm pretty good at, like, the arts. You should get into evil. Get into evil.
It's the mid-90s. Evil's pretty lucrative.
Yep. It's got a lot to
good
offer.
Business.
Good career choice.
They got a lot of internships with evil.
How much do those internships pay?
Every villain is lemons.
I had that chance in high school? Man!
Growing up in a small town, nobody even told
calling.
Me evil was a choice.
Nobody even told me I could evil.
Scott.
I can't evil. Stacey, what's another one of yours?
So this one probably has a little more to do with, like, the line delivery and just the way the scene played out, but it was when Vega first shows up. And you're starting to go, "Oh God, Vega!" And she just sounds almost exasperated, like, "Oh my God,
dude,
this guy
not
again!
Like, what are you doing
not
in my
like
house?"
Terrified.
No, that's dude. It conveyed. No, it conveyed all of that. It was
it was like
I just got out of the shower. I'm essentially in my underwear. And this creep shows up?
She's like, "I am not equipped to handle this right now."
It's like, turn lemons into rocks.
I showered, a walking Amber Alert is in my house. What is going on?
Just
and it's like,
over it.
"Chun Li, what's going on? I'll be right there. Be safe, kid." Like, when did that relationship switch flip? Where he's like, "I care so much about you."
I don't know.
They have a pretty, like, close relationship for, especially for our description, too, is, like, they're forced to work together and stuff like that.
Like,
pivots to father-daughtery toward the end.
Really
quick.
It's gross.
Really quick. And this is my favorite line. Well, it's a line and an action where Chun-Li's in the hospital.
Okay.
Chun-Li's in the hospital, and Guile's talking to her, just like, "I'll get her." And what he says is, "I'll get revenge for this."
Oh,
and he totally
on
like
the muscles.
I wish, dude, if we had the American flag tattoo on it, even
right
more
now.
Just like, like, dude,
ready for that.
Chill. Flipping, like, grabs her by the hand and is like, "Honey." It's like, no.
No.
Step back, sir.
Just like, the nurse comes in and is like, Who are you? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
We had the bicep alert go off. We saw you flex. Several cuts of like, bow, 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 just several angles of it, pop, pop.
What you didn't see was if from the shot from the door where you saw the window where a bald eagle flying a jet flew right by.
I heard about that. It's in the director's commentary. Yeah,
that was in last year's release.
Oh, gotcha.
Another thing that got cut for shower scene.
Absolutely. His whole lead up when he's in the bathroom and he's practicing. He's like, no, not good enough. No, I got... Not good enough. Left arm, maybe? He's over and over again. Cut. Shower scene, too?
Yeah, I'll cut for the shower scene. We missed out on a lot of really good moments.
Shower scene. I know, but it was quite a shower scene.
I highly doubt that Capcom USA would be like, no, cut America.
Yeah.
We need more butt.
We need more, more butt.
Okay, so let's move on from there. Now, I know longtime fans know that we did do a recast back during Chun-Li, that was a completely different type of movie. We are now casting a new Street Fighter film featuring all of the competitors from Street Fighter to the new challengers. So that's 16 people? Yeah. We're just going to go through.
Rapid fire.
We're just going to go super quick, yay or nay us in the comments down below so that we can get to our last little fun thing. So let's start with Sagat. That's okay. I have Tony Jaa, who's an amazing Thai kickboxer.
Right.
He's a little short. He's 5'6", and Sagat's like a mountain of a man.
Yep.
And we'll get to mountains of men. Mm. But did you have somebody for Sagat?
Tony Jaa, as a matter of fact, and I think that they, again, CG him. He looks like 8 feet tall.
Sure.
Like, yeah, because he is.
Just CG him some legs.
He is a badass.
He's amazing.
Yes.
Cammy.
Ooh.
Did anybody have Cammy?
I skipped Cammy.
Okay.
Margot Robbie.
I almost picked her, but I decided somebody because
because
Cammy was one of Bison's dolls and could play both sides of the coin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Natalie Dormer.
Like
also
that.
Very good.
Mother Fletcher.
Like also good.
Does anybody have Fei Long?
Nope, skipped Fei Long. What do you got?
Was playing around with Donnie Yen.
Donnie Yen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's film star.
Seemed like
perfect.
Yeah.
This one I did just for fun. Does anybody have T-Hawk?
No.
I don't.
The Rock. Anyway, T-Hawk. T-Hawk, The Rock.
Yep.
Why not?
Not bad.
Dhalsim. I'm pretty sure nobody has mine.
Ooh, all right.
All right, who's yours?
Yeah. Mine is Vidyut Jamwal.
Me too. Is,
really?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
You legit.
Well played.
You legitimately got me, you son of a pig. He is the new age action hero of Bollywood. He's ripped. And he is essentially the main action hero of Bollywood cinema right now.
How are his dance moves?
Pretty solid.
Top five?
Okay. Maybe five to all time? All time, maybe about a 6 or 7.
Okay, perfect.
But he's getting there. He's getting there.
Okay.
What does everybody else have?
I've got Dev Patel, Slumdog Millionaire, Lion Newsroom. I think he would crush it.
I think he's too young and too small. But
again, I think size, like modern cinema, I feel like size is not an issue.
Make it happen?
Yes.
Size doesn't matter. Who do you have?
Don't have one there.
Don't have one there? E. Honda.
This is where I needed some help. So I literally went to the CG card. I want to CG The Rock and just some weird, like, I don't know who plays this dude. This is like, I was driving over here in traffic and I rolled down my window to this thing to strangers. Hey, have you seen that animated film? Who would play E. Honda? And then they drove off and were like, I got plenty of, I was flipped off several times. I don't know, Mark.
You know.
Okay. I picked Taylor Wiley, who is a, he's a Hawaiian actor who was in Hawaii Five-0, a former sumo competitor. And that's sort of going along the lines, one of the few things that it would have in common with the live-action Street Fighter movie is because their E. Honda was American.
Okay.
And that Hawaii is a part of America, so it's just not a white guy.
I feel like, not bad. I feel like I need to go back and watch Bloodsport and pick one of those guys.
Possibly.
Yes.
What do we have for Blanca? Anybody?
Ooh. So I actually have two.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. So one, just because Greenskin kind of begs for CGI and Andy Serkis is the man.
All right.
Oh, that'd be,
that's not bad.
That kicks
ass. Yeah, that's actually really good.
Yeah.
What's your other one?
And then Dave Bautista.
Oh, Bautista.
Oh, all right.
He doesn't have the flexibility, though.
I could see that.
That's
the
true.
Thing. But I like that a lot.
I've got Jason Momoa, from...
Aquaman.
He is Aquaman, he's also
Khal
Drogo.
Game of Thrones.
Khal
Drogo from Game of Thrones. I have a wrestler named Rusev. He is a Bulgarian brute. He's very agile, but also very big. He's got a lot of power behind his agility. Zangief, the Red Cyclone.
Well, going back to Game of Thrones, we've got Hafthor.
Hafthor, Julius Bjornsson.
Yep.
The Mountain.
Absolutely.
No other person.
Yeah, that's done. Yeah, I can't do better than that.
Balrog.
I got Jamie Foxx.
Terry Crews.
Ooh.
Terry Crews is real good. That's real good.
And that's kind of a cheat. Alexis Torres, friend of the show, picked that the last
Mad
time we did it.
Props, but that's all real good. Right. I went Jamie Foxx. What do you got?
Jamie Foxx would be good. David Harewood.
What is he
from?
In?
He's in Supergirl.
Oh, is he James?
No, Jean.
Oh, he's okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the show. Okay. So, good. I'm just happy that Martian Manhunter's on TV. Yeah. Vega.
Oh, Vega was tough for me. Who do you have?
So I went back to Game of Thrones yet again.
Okay, do it.
Finn Jones.
I like Finn Jones.
Finn Jones is in Iron Fist.
Loras Tyrell and he has Iron Fist.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, that's not bad.
Diego Luna. We need a thick
accent. Oh, man, I
love it.
We need a thick accent.
I was on the fence, and I almost went Diego Luna. I went Gael Garcia Bernal from Mozart in the Jungle, Motorcycle
I like
Diaries.
Him.
And he's also, you know, he's long and lean and kind of weird. I feel like he could get real weird with it.
That's
get
good.
Real weird.
Does anybody have DJ?
I skipped DJ. Help me.
DJ is professional wrestler Xavier Woods, who is a huge Street Fighter enthusiast and is almost on the level of a pro Capcom
Not
player.
Bad.
Guile.
Awesome.
Oh, I got this one. I got this
right.
one. Yo. I'm just going to shut it down. It's Channing Tatum, y'all.
I was trying to think of the most American actor.
Channing Tatum's
pretty good.
Absolutely. So this was more because I thought it was a funny mental image. Alexander Skarsgård.
That is a funny image.
It's very funny.
He's
image.
My Ken.
Armie Hammer is my guy.
Forth
for a few.
That is real good. That is real good.
He's like the
I
anime
the mic back
big.
Up. Yeah,
he's the anime big, like, stocky
chest.
Dude's
like 6'5".
Let me just get my Ken out of the way, because not a lot of people know it. Is a wrestler named Kenny Omega, also another huge Street Fighter fan, who does the Hadouken as a part of his regular move repertoire. Go look him up.
Back
he's
him in the door.
Very entertaining, and he's a really good Street Fighter player as well. Now, actual people.
I mean, I feel like this one's kind of an obvious one, but Charlie Hunnam.
I was thinking Charlie Hunnam for somebody.
Oh my God, I just want Charlie Hunnam in everything. That is real good. I've got Skarsgård as well as Ken because I think he would just be a badass.
I like that.
Bison.
Okay, I'll go with Bison. Who did I have? I've got two. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start out with who I think is the home run. I think John Hamm would make a real good Bison.
Ooh.
And I kind of think
he's got the jaw.
He's got the jaw. He's got a good presence. He's a big dude. I also think Mad Mikkelsen.
He was one of mine.
Would be he would get weird depending on what you want out of your Bison.
He would be a little bit closer to the Raul Julia.
Yeah, a little bit.
But that's fine.
You kind of want to. I mean, just Shadow Lou. Shadow Thrones.
Shadow Thrones.
Yep. What do you have?
So aside from Mads Mikkelsen, who was one of mine, I've also got Clive Russell.
It's Clive Russell from?
Blackfish in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. A lot of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of Game of Thrones.
A lot of Count of actors in that show.
There's a guy who recently we found out, it doesn't matter if it's a video game property or if it's a nerd property, he can knock it out of the park, though he's kind of played this type of character before. Michael Fassbender.
Yep.
True.
I think he can knock that out.
That's real good.
Chun-Li.
I had to go. This was one of my biggest challenges. I went with her name's Gong Li. She's in Memoirs of a Geisha.
Mm-hmm.
So
good pick.
She's a martial artist. Like, she looks the part, for lack of a better. Mm-hmm. I really struggled with this one because I want it's she, again because that scene was so cool. I wanted to hit it out of the home run. I'm really interested to hear like what you had.
So Chyler Lee was my favorite pick there. She's another from Supergirl again.
Okay.
But she's the sister, and she's pretty kick ass.
Pretty kick ass.
Yeah.
So is Jamie Chung. Most recently, Big Hero 6. Who's Go Tamago? She plays Mulan on Once Upon a Time. She's kick ass.
Awesome.
She's kick ass. And last but not least, Ryu, our hero.
Donnie Yen. I know he's too old, but
he's too old. I know,
but I feel like we could write that in, right? Like,
I would say
Ken's a little cocky.
I would say Donnie Yen for Gen or for Go Ken.
I could see that.
Yep. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
As more of a master
maybe
type.
Even
than,
a Kuma, maybe.
He doesn't seem evil, though.
But he could
especially
get evil.
After Chirrut.
You're just
short-changing
him.
After Chirrut, I can't...
Just, he's turned, I may or may not have gotten choked up in that scene.
He's a nice boy.
May or may not have.
I 100% wept in the theater. Is that what you want out of me?
Yeah,
there you go.
What I want
it's like
out
a child. It was heartbreaking.
Because we've all been there.
No.
Who do you have for Ryu?
So, Tam O'Pennicott.
Who was that?
So he's on. yeah. Okay. Who was that? So he's on Dollhouse, and he had a little stint on Supernatural.
Oh, and on Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
So on board. That guy's awesome.
He's great. I want him in everything.
So me too. I do too. Yes.
I went with a relative unknown in the States. His name is Hongo Kanata. He played the lead.
Great.
He played. Stop. Especially, I know for sure you don't know this guy because he was the lead in both the Prince of Tennis live action movie
and two.
The first one.
Sorry,
the only one.
He
shut
hates
up.
Me so much.
And the Attack on Titan live action movie as well.
Okay.
And he's got the action background and he's got the nerd cred background. So I want to cast from these countries because that, I think, makes it worthwhile. And Ryu is such a character is such to where you can have a nobody make it something special.
I totally
agree. And I say nobody, but I mean somebody who's unknown in the United States.
He's a cipher, right? Like, again, that's the player character projecting kind of his personality on him. Yep. 100%. Those are good. You guys crushed
it. We got a lot of fun. Let us know who you want to see in this movie using the hashtag VGM Anatomy or leave us a comment down below. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, so we're going to use our next little bit that we had for the next time we do a Street Fighter thing because there are more Street Fighter things.
Yes, there are.
Let's do final thoughts about Street Fighter II, the animated movie.
Japan. It was so good. Like, thank you for choosing this one. Big shout out to MFIFE. Thank you for suggesting this. It was a pleasant surprise to go back, and I was really excited to see that it held up better. Because I feel like the experiences when we go back, I have fond memories, and when this show's been all about surfacing how terrible all those films that were beloved at one point, but this one definitely held up, and I had a really good time watching it. I want to play some Street Fighter again, so the movie held up and worked.
Yeah, this was, I mean, I really, really enjoyed revisiting how 90s this movie was.
That was a 90s ass 90s.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Just every single second, every detail, just screaming 90s.
More Alice
and
Chains.
It was a lot of fun.
And everything.
A lot of fun.
You think Alice and Chains played his wedding? Because they definitely did get hitched. Like, there's no way they weren't doing like a dirt. They played Dirt as the bride came out, right?
No. Or. I mean, King can afford it. He's got dad money.
He's crushing it.
Yeah. I mean, this hammers home why Street Fighter is one of my favorite gaming franchises. This is what really brought me into going, hey, gaming's pretty fun. Street Fighter, awesome. Nailed it. I love it. I really enjoy this movie. And like, as you mentioned, I just want to play Street Fighter. I have it on PS3. I have it on PS4. I have a Super Boy, which is a portable Super Nintendo, where I can play Street Fighter on the go. It's out of batteries, or I would have brought it tonight. Real upset.
I'm just playing during your picks. I'm
no,
like,
dude,
oh, it's
I was,
so good.
I was going to play it for the opening. Yes. I was going to be like, with the audio on, just so that you can... Hadouken! So now we did give a different verdict for the Street Fighter franchise back at Chun-Li, but for this, do you give it a game over or an extra life? Stacey, let's start with you.
I keep going. These were fun.
Yes, well said.
It was a good time.
Yeah, enthusiastic, if conditional, thumbs up. They stay, like... This was, like, it had a lot of edges. It swore, and for whatever reason, that shower scene went on too long, and whatever, like, keep Street Fighter weird, and I am on board.
Yep.
If they play
Make
the
Street
safe
Fighter weird again.
Studio nonsense, I'm over it, but, like, let's stay weird, and I'm in.
Now, who wants to go home, and who wants to come with me? Yeah.
USSR.
USSR.
Japan. I'm just going to do my animation, sequence in the background, like, just...
Why not? Of course, I give Extra Life. I love the Street Fighter franchise. I would love to see this. Maybe not a Dragon Ball Evolution style American remake. Let's figure it out. Maybe we go animation again. Please do us a favor.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Remember, next week we're going to be covering Resident Evil, the final chapter. I was just going to call it Resident Evil, the last one. Until
it's
then,
over.
Thank God it's over.
Yeah.
Where can the folks find you until then?
You can find me if you want to take a ride on the Kenny Coaster. I'm at P to the D's at Twitter. Please tweet at me. I want to hear who you want to play what.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles or all over the web at Nerds Doing Stuff.
And you can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Find all of us here at The Popcorn Talk. If you want to play Street Fighter with me, my PSN name is the_idget. Don't ask. I've been trying to change it for years. I don't like PSN. You can't do it. Anyway, thank you for joining this episode of Video Game Movie Anatomy. We will see you in the apocalypse.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.